Cal Banyan here, Cal Banyan's Hypnosis, etc. If you're watching this video anywhere except CalBanyan.com, you want to go there right now because right below this video is all kinds of extra supporting information, texts, graphics, links, all that kind of stuff. And while you're there, go up towards the top of the page over there, and it says be a VIP. You want to do that, click there, and you can instantly sign up to get instant access to like 100+ hypnosis training videos, just like this one. Most of them even better than this one, but actually I don't know because we haven't done it yet. Let me tell you about Meredith. This is Cal Banyan's Hypnosis Cetra with Meredith Locker. And Meredith Locker is a 1%er. What does that mean? The top 1% of the profession. And she is an extraordinary person. She's a caring hypnotherapist. She's very smart. You don't believe me? You go back and you watch the previous episode. She was really laying it out there, helping people so that they can make that transition from new hypnotherapist to experienced hypnotherapist, sharing her experience. I'm hoping one day she will be a trainer out there training hundreds of people around the world. I know she could do it because she's that kind of gal. How you doing, Meredith?
I'm doing so good, Cal. I'm really excited to be back and doing a whole bunch of new podcasts. This has been really fun. I can't wait. And before I forget, I want to be sure to ask you guys for your feedback and comments and questions. Please do post them. You can post them on calbanyan.com in the feedback section down at the bottom of these podcasts, or you can email them directly to me, Meredith at yourpathhypnosis.com, or post them on our Hypnospace in the Ask Cal group. Really, we definitely want to answer your questions. It doesn't matter how simple or how complicated it is. Sometimes if they're too complicated and we don't have enough time to get to it, we might postpone it to another time, but eventually we will get to it. Please do submit them. Anyway, I want to make sure you guys know who Cal is. Cal is the trainer of the top 1%ers. And what are we talking about here? The top 1% of the hypnosis profession, he's the one that trains them. He's the developer of 5-Path. He's the developer of 7th-Path Self-Hypnosis. He's written books. He's written so many articles for the NGH Journal. He's presented year after year after year there. He just recently won an award. Look at this. The Hypnotism Media Award, look at that. And he recently got the Diplomate of the NGH recognition status. And he's just an amazing man. He's a good person, and he's done more for hypnosis, the profession, than anyone else I can think of. He's Cal Banyan.
How you doing? You all want to be Hypno 1%ers, the best of the best, the best of the best. And that's why you're watching our show. Because that's what we want too. We want to help you become the best of the best in the profession. And gosh, what are we going to do today to help everybody become the best of the best in the profession?
Well, I'm just so excited because I'm seeing all of these new graduates, you know, putting their questions into the Yahoo groups and, you know, starting to send questions to us. And it's so great. I love seeing, you know, these really diligent, really focused, driven, you know, graduates just trying to be those 1%ers, trying to be the best of the profession. And so we've got a relatively recent graduate named Mark who submitted some various questions about age regression. And so I'm going to get right into it if you don't have anything else to share first.
I'm so ready. Let's go.
Okay, let's do it. And so he asks, as you're bridging back on one of the age regression bridges, and so what he's talking about is you first have them bring up that feeling that has everything to do with why they're here, and then you bring them to that first time, and then you get a feeling. And then, of course, you've asked your fantastic 5 questions. What's happening? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? How old are you? Is that feeling familiar or new? And then you bridge again. What if you suddenly find more than one emotion? What do you do? Do you focus in on one of them? And how do you pick the one that you focus on in on? And then I have more questions to go from there. So let's start with that.
I tell you what, you know, Meredith, you did such a good job of setting that up. I mean, you really explained where the person is at in the process. Well, so you're doing the affect bridge age regression. You're going back in time, going through those bumps like I have in this picture here. See those bumps going up and down, and you get somewhere along there, the ISC, the SSC, you find out that there's 2 emotions. Well, this is really a deep question. I'm so glad I have a chance to answer it. And so I'm going to talk about as much as I can, and then Meredith, if there's any part that you think that you want me to talk more about, I will. So let's say, let me ask something, Meredith. In that question, did they say what the two emotions were?
Yeah, he specifies fear and anger.
Okay, and did he mention what the client is in for?
No, he did not.
Okay, this is what they do to us. It seems to make sense to them when they send in the question, but then when we look at it, there's some things we don't know. For example, if this client was in for a fear, like a fear of snakes, and then there's some other emotion that comes up, it's not relevant, right? So it was not something we're going to worry about too much in the age regression. But if someone is coming in for what we call a too much behavior, like eating too much, drinking too much, smoking too much, working too much, gambling too much, sexing too much, whatever it is, then all of those emotions could be driving the behavior. So let me do a quick for both of them, a little quick thing. So if a person came in for a fear, like a fear of heights, fear of snakes or something like that, then the emotion we're working with is fear. And if, of course, we will bring that feeling up, we'll follow it back in time. But if other emotions come up, I'm probably not going to deal with them in the age regression, especially if it's anger. Now, the reason is I'm a five pather, and in phase one, I do the preparation, testing, and convincing phase, getting them all ready so that I have a hopeful and somnambulistic client so I can do a good job in the age regression, which is phase two, which is age regression and age progression work. And now I'm doing the regression back on the fear because my client's in for a fear, and I kind of just ignore the anger in this case because in phase three we do forgiveness of others, and that's where I'm going to take care of the anger. When I get done with that, there's going to be guilt because, you know what, my client will realize that somehow, for some way, over the lifetime of the problem, they've contributed to it in some way, and maybe even other people have suffered because of the problem. So we're going to do forgiveness of self. Then, of course, if the problem consists, we're going to consider doing parts mediation work, which is phase five. So that's one way to attack it. The other way is if the client came in for too much behavior. If the person came in for too much behavior, we recognize that any painful emotion could be sadness, anger, guilt, frustration, fear. All of these emotions can drive the too much behavior. Why is that? Because the too much behavior is actually a way of managing the emotion. See, we have these emotions inside, and some of them are from the past. And when they're from the past, a lot of times there's nothing we could do about them. They're not actionable. They're not satisfiable. And they're just an old anger or old fear from the past. And so what we do is the feeling starts to come up from inside, and then we want to squash it back down or at least ignore it by maybe drinking something, or I don't have a sandwich here, but eating something, or getting on the computer, or going to work, or doing something too much. So if they came in, for example, weight loss, and they're eating too much, like they're snacking all the time, or having to have a couple bowls of ice cream during the day, that kind of thing, that's a too much behavior. A little bit of ice cream, unless you're lactose intolerant, is not a bad thing. But having two bowls of ice cream every day, that's going to have problems, right? So I'm going to bring up that feeling associated with the drive to eat that ice cream or eat the chocolate or whatever it is. Follow it back. And in this case, we're talking about have some fear, and then we have some anger. Now, what's going to happen is when I uncover the fear or anger, I've got to do a little bit of detective work. You know, as hypnotherapists or professional hypnotists or consulting hypnotists, whatever you call yourself, when you do this work, you're really a detective, and we're trying to find out some important things, like what is the cause of the problem. So as I'm going back, if I get to the ISE and I find out that at the ISE there's these two emotions, fear and anger, then what I need to do is I need to do a reality check. And I'm going to ask grown-up something like that. You see, I have two aspects of the client at this point. I have the regressed aspect of the client, which is the child. And then I have the adult aspect, which is like the grown-up that's paying the bills and sitting in my chair. And so I'm following it back, and let's say the child is 4 years old and something happens and they're feeling both fear and anger over the situation. I'll say, good, be grown up. Grown up, boy, it'd be nice if you knew back then what you know now, right? Good. What do you wish you would have known then? And they're going to tell me some additional information. And that information is going to let me know what the misperceptions of the child was. If there were any. So we're kind of doing a reality check on the perceptions of the child. They can basically fall into two categories. One is a misperception, and the other is an accurate perception. So let's take, for example, a child, and the mother is leaving the child alone at home by himself, and he's just 4 years old. And the kid is scared. He's thinking, oh my goodness, anything could happen. Someone could break in and kill me or take me away, kidnap me. And I'm mad because mom shouldn't put me in this situation. She's supposed to be here with me. Okay, good. Grown up, what do you wish you would have known then? Well, grown up might tell me that, well, I wish I would have known nothing bad was going to happen that day, that I was going to be fine. I'm going to watch a lot of cartoons, watch some TV, play with some toys. But I really didn't have anything to worry about. Nothing bad happened. Good. So what we can do is we're going to do what's called informed child technique. We're going to take that information from grown-up back to before the event and give the child the information that he needs to go through the event without having this false belief which generates the fear. Now, but you know, I can also ask grown-up, now, gosh, you were mad back then because mom left you all alone. Was that right or fair that she should leave you all alone like that? And the grown-up would most likely say, no, that wasn't right. And I say, ah, good. Because in my mind, then I think, that is a perception on the child that's based in reality, and I want to leave that anger in place because it's based in reality. And so I'm going to go back there, do the informed child work. We'll go before the event, just like we did with the fear, and tell the child, your mom's going to leave, and you know what? You're right. She should be there for you. And so if you get angry, that's fine. Be angry. And we'll run them through there, and the child will not be afraid because the child knows that nothing bad happens, and he will be angry. But what we've done is we validate the anger because we don't want him to feel bad about feeling bad when he's supposed to be angry with someone that does something unfair. You see, in my book, there's an unwritten law between parents and their children. And that's when they're just little curtain-climbing, crumb-snatching lawn monsters about 4 years old. They're not supposed to be left alone. Not for very long, anyway. And they're supposed to feel like, hey, mom, dad, where are you? You're supposed to be taking care of me. And in my book, The Secret Language of Feelings, I really talk about where emotions come from. Fear comes from thinking something bad might happen. And so that's an excellent guide for the hypnotherapist to understand that when they do age regression. That's why in the informed child work we did, we had grown-up go back with the child and let them know nothing bad is going to happen. So that way they can go through the event, revivifying it without the fear. But anger comes from the perception of this is not fair or not right. So since from the perception of grown-up, perception of the child, and also from my more objective perception of, you know, the therapist or hypnotist, I can say, yeah, that does seem unfair. So we can go in and validate that information for the child, and then they don't have to feel bad about feeling bad. Now, just as a heads up, I'm a five-path hypnotherapist, so phase one's preparation, testing, and convincing, so I can have a hopeful somnambulistic client, so that the age regression will go very well because I need somnambulism to do that. And then I do this work that I just explained, and in phase three, I'm going to do forgiveness of others. Now, you see, the anger was valid for the child, and so it was good. All feelings are good when they're based in accurate perceptions. But for the grown-up, the feeling is what I like to call vestigial. It doesn't serve any purpose anymore. And so that feeling of anger is just hurting my client. And so what we need to do is run them through phase three, which is forgiveness of others, and have the child forgive the mom or the parent, whoever it was that left them alone. And of course, in phase four, we're going to do forgiveness of self, because, gosh, you know, the client did hold on to that fear far beyond the knit time that it was really useful. And then, of course, if there's any secondary gain issues driving the problem, then that will be met in phase five, parts mediation work or parts mediation therapy. How's that, Meredith? That was a mouthful, wasn't
it? That was a lot. And, of course, we can get even a little bit more into it because there's more to his question. So he's saying, what if you're at a subsequent sensitizing event, you haven't gotten to the ISE yet, you've got fear and anger, and he's asking, do you ask, is that feeling familiar or new, and then bridge off of that feeling, I say in quotes, even if they say two feelings, and let the subconscious mind sort out which feeling is the one to follow, or do you pick one of those feelings and say, focus on that feeling, and in a moment I'm going to count from 3 to 1, follow that feeling to an earlier time you felt that way.
Okay. Again, this goes down to what is the client in for? If the person is in for fear, then you will regress on the relevant emotion. So it would be the fear. If they're in for a too much behavior, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to pick one. And I'm going to pick the one. This is, makes so much sense as soon as I say it. At the very beginning of the regression, I said, there's a feeling inside you that has everything to do with why you came here today, why you're eating too much ice cream. As I count from 1 to 5, that feeling comes up as strong and powerful as it's ever been. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Kind of speeding up the process here for sake of brevity. And then I'm going to say, now let's follow that feeling back to an earlier time you felt that way. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. And I keep doing that through the SSEs. Now, that's the feeling. Whatever that feeling is, that's the most important one at present. Why? Because it's the one that has everything to do with why they came in today. So when I have them in that somnambulistic state, and I'm going to regress them, there's a feeling inside you don't like that has everything to do with why you came here today. I count from 1 to 5, make it strong and powerful, because I want a strong affect, because that's going to give me the most powerful and reliable affect bridge. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, be there, earlier time situation. Okay, and then I'm going to say, what's happening? What are you thinking? What are you feeling? Ah, that's when I find out what the emotion is. That first emotion uncovered is the one that has everything to do with why they came here today. And so that's going to be the emotion that I focus on through the rest of the regression. If other emotions come up, then they become kind of something that I'm going to deal with subsequently or after the fact. But mainly I'm going to deal with that one emotion. It's the most important one. Now, if after the session, let me put it this way, you know, it kind of depends on how long your sessions are. It also depends on how simple the regressions are and how smart and insightful your clients are. If I have time, I might regress on both, but the one I'm mainly going to focus on is that first one discovered, because it has everything to do with why they came in today. But if I have time in that same session, I will go ahead and regress further on that other emotion. However, if it is in the subsequent events and the ISC that I go back to, I mean, if it's always fear and anger, and then I go, okay, good. And fear was the one that was most closely associated with the cause of the problem. Then I'll go back to the earlier time situation when they felt that way, and they say fear and anger. And they go back again, and it's fear and anger. Then even though I continue to regress maybe on the fear, then the anger is also there, and I will deal with it in the ISC as I described earlier. So I will typically pick. But I will make note that there is an additional emotion. I can deal with that also. However, if it is anger, I know that it can also be dealt with in phase three, which is forgiveness of others. Let me pick another one, like sadness. If there was sadness, fear and sadness in the regression, then still, that first emotion that has everything to do with why they came here today, that's the one I'm going to work at the most. Then, and get that one done. Now, if sadness happens to be at every single event that I go back to, then that's okay. When I get to the ISC, I'll do the informed child work on the fear, and then I will do it on the sadness. If the sadness is based in reality, I don't neutralize it. It stays, because all feelings are good when they're based in reality. How's that, Meredith?
Really good. A couple things, clarifying points. At one point, you said if you have two and you have time, you'll regress on them both. And I want to make it clear, you don't mean regress on them both at the same time. You mean you would do separate strings and find out what the root is of the, at the ISC of the separate strings. Is that what you mean?
Right. I'd focus on the one emotion. Now, if the second emotion happens to be there at every event, that's good. And I will then work with it in the ISC along with that main emotion that I was working on. But I can't tell them, fall both the emotions back to another time I felt that way, because there may not be a previous event where they felt both the feelings.
Right. And you wouldn't ever say, generally speaking, if they gave you two or more emotions, you wouldn't say this general all-inclusive focus on that feeling in a moment. I'm going to count from three to one and let them sort it out. You would pick and be more specific than that, correct?
I might do something like that if I thought I had a particularly sharp, insightful client. And because, you know, like I say all the time, this isn't brain surgery. And I can just do a general kind of focus on the feelings, follow it back to an earlier, it's not good English, though. Focus on the feelings, follow it back to an earlier time I felt that way. And so you're kind of asking them to select one of the feelings. And, you know, that's okay. I don't think it's as neat and tidy as what I was, and precise as what I explained before, but there might be a time where I say something like that just to see which one pops up. But I would always note in my mind that no matter where I go, this other emotion did come up. And if I'm doing a too much behavior, it could continue to drive the problem. And if it's not anger or guilt, it may have to be dealt with in the age regression. If it is anger or guilt, the anger is automatically covered in forgiveness of others, and guilt is handled in forgiveness of self.
Unless it's based not in reality, it's not based in reality, and it's a too much behavior, and it would behoove the client to neutralize that misperception in age regression.
Right, but yeah, and like if it's anger, and if it's not based in reality, and I would neutralize it in the age regression, I'm also going to still do the forgiveness of others and continue to transform it, because in the age regression, I'm going to be dealing with the beginning, but I like to use the model of if you saw a tree that's been sliced and you see the different rings of the tree, with each ring representing 1 year of the life of the tree, our consciousness is kind of like that. And held within each year of ourselves, you could think like the ring of the tree, is layers of like pent up, held in anger. And so I would want to flush all that out in the forgiveness process. And if it's guilt that's being held in over the years, I'm going to neutralize that, flush it out in the forgiveness of self process.
Yes. And so one big thing I want to clarify, you were saying that you would predominantly focus on whatever the feeling is that first comes up after you say that feeling that has everything to do with why you're here. But what's important for people to understand is that you're not just going to necessarily take whatever word, whatever descriptor word that the client first gives you, right? You're going to, you know, so say they say fear, but they're really thinking things that don't match up with that. Or, you know, they say sadness, but what they're thinking indicates is fear. And so it's important to really, that's why those five questions are important, and we don't just ask one or two. We need to really get an understanding. We may need to dig a little bit deeper because clients aren't used to using emotional terminology. They don't know the secret language of feelings. We do. And they don't necessarily know how to communicate what they're really feeling. So it's important for the hypnotherapist not to just take the face value of the word that they use, but to really see if that's the actual feeling that's underlying that first SSE, subsequent sensitizing event, easy for you to say, that you go to after that initial bridge, correct?
Yeah, you're exactly right. It's really important for the hypnosis professional that's doing age regression work to really know the cause of emotions, and our clients really are not good at naming their own emotions. So just like Meredith is saying, but we take them back to an earlier time they felt that way. We find out what's happening, what are they thinking, and what are they feeling, and as well as how old are you and is it familiar or new. But with regard to what we're talking about now, what's happening, so that's like the objective. For example, if somebody just treated them unfairly, then they should be thinking something like, that's not fair, that's not right, and then the emotion should be anger. If they just lost something or someone important, then they should be thinking, oh gosh, I just lost someone or something important, and then they should be feeling sadness. But if you get a client that says, something bad is going to happen, I'm going to get hurt or I'm going to get killed or something like that, you know, and they say, how does that make you feel? And they say something that isn't fear, some other thing like lonely. Well, that really doesn't add up. You know that they might be feeling lonely, but definitely within the context of what's happening, they're also feeling fear. So that would be, even though they said lonely, we realize that the predominant emotion is fear. Okay, that's time. That's all we have, Meredith.
I know it's all we have, but he kind of has a little left to his question, and I just want to kind of address it real quickly.
Okay.
To just get that out there. He's also asking about what happens when suddenly the feeling that they've named in one of the earlier SSEs, as you're going back to the ISE, what if it suddenly changes or it disappears, and so they're feeling fear and anger, and then they're suddenly feeling sadness and anger. And it's kind of along the same lines, is my understanding, that because of the client's lack of understanding of emotional terminology, that they often, when that happens, it's because they aren't really knowing the right word to use, but the feeling that you regressed on is still there if you really get an idea of the perception and the thinking behind it. Is that correct?
Yes. You know, what sometimes they're like you're saying that even though they are saying one emotion, does that emotion make sense in the context of what's happening and what they're thinking? So you're absolutely right on that. And then also it depends on what they're in for. If they're in for a fear, a phobia, something like that, then no matter what other emotions they talk about, we've got to deal with the fear. And so we've got to determine whether the event that we last had the fear reported was the ISE or not. If it was not the ISE, then we need to keep driving back on fear. But if the client misunderstands the directions, which can happen, and they believe they're supposed to go back to an earlier time, then they might go back to an earlier time that's before the ISC, where they're experiencing some other emotion. So it's really, what I would do is go back to the event where they last felt the fear and do the tests that need to be done to confirm whether or not that is the ISE. How's that?
That was great. And, you know, we have covered, actually, you have covered some of these topics in other places before, so I just want to draw attention. So if any of you haven't gotten all the information that you want about this, I want to refer you to podcast number 19 and podcast number 34, really easy to get to if you purchase the podcast 1 through 150 set, but you can kind of keep going back to older entries or through the archive directory on calbanyan.com to get to those as well. And then there's also a dealing with multiple emotions on the Balsam Online Supervision CDs. So there's that. Thank you guys so much. This is Meredith Locker. Please do send in your questions and your feedback. My email is meredith@yourpathhypnosis.com, and I'm signing off.
All right, and this is Cal Banyan. Here's to your success. Please visit Hypnosis. Hypnosiscenter.com for my schedule. You want to get into the October or November class because tuitions are going up next year. And also become a fan on facebook.com/hypnosis, etc. And see you in class. Cal Banyan, signing off. This recording is the property of Cal Banyan and Cal Banyan's Banyan Publishing Incorporated. All rights reserved, for private use only, may not be duplicated without written permission.